Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're of a certain age, you may remember Luke's account of the Nativity beginning. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree." It came to pass. That old-fashioned phrase is almost poetic. More literally, it could simply be translated, "It happened." Agenita, Luke wrote, "It happened." The English Standard Version, most other modern translations ignore that word as redundant. They don't account for it in their translation. If you're describing an event, you don't need to say that it happened. You just describe what happened. These days, however, with skeptics of Scripture and opponents of Christianity commonly suggesting that Scripture is at best a mixture of fact and fiction, if not purely myth and fable, without any basis in reality at all, or alternately, just an uplifting story calculated to tug at the heartstrings and prompt a particular emotional response, it might be helpful to translate that word. Agenita, it happened. What Luke has written is not just some highly embellished, if not fictional, account to convey some sort of truth. He describes actual events. Events that really occurred in a place and at a time he identifies, involving a number of individuals clearly attested in multiple sources outside of Scripture. It happened in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. This registration was all about taxes. That's a significant activity of government, and authorities make whatever arrangements are necessary in order to collect taxes, including updating the tax roll by conducting a census. That's how Joseph and his betrothed ended up in Bethlehem for the birth of the son the angel had foretold. Caesar Augustus and Quirinius didn't know anything about Mary or Joseph or her advanced pregnancy. They just set the bureaucratic wheels in motion that required this trip at this particular time. And while they were there, in Bethlehem, the city of David, the time came for Mary to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. That's the way it happened. Crowded with visitors who had come to at Caesar's invitation to be registered, all the rooms in that town were occupied. So when the time came, Mary gave birth where animals normally stabled. Mary and Joseph made the best of it, swaddling Jesus in strips of cloth and using the manger there at hand as a crib. And though the circumstances were not what they might have planned, that's not infrequently the case when God gives the blessing of a baby. There wouldn't have been much notice, except for what God did next. And that's an important point. What God did next. You see, all these things that happened occurred under divine guidance and direction. Though they weren't aware of it, God employed Caesar and Quirinius and Joseph to bring about that Mary was in Bethlehem when the time came for her to give birth. He arranged it thus so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. What God did next was to send one of his myriad messengers to announce the news. Now, one might think that this sort of announcement from God would have been delivered to the leaders of his people, the chief priests, or members of the ruling council. But that's not what happened, not how God did it. Instead, God sent his messenger to a decidedly unpious crowd, a bunch of shepherds whose work prevented them from the sort of fastidious obedience to every law to which the Pharisees aspired. Suddenly, without any warning, out of the blue, or perhaps better, out of the darkness, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear, scared to death, and with good reason, too. It's not just that they were startled by the suddenness of the appearance of an angel. The splendor of his radiance, the glory of the Lord, Luke calls it, was terrifying. Not without reason do the scriptures say, our God is a consuming fire. And though the shepherds, though you, might be able to appear reasonably good under most circumstances, in the light of God's holiness, the blackness in your soul is revealed with terrible vividness. Your lusts and hatreds and self-centeredness in all their awful reality. And as the scriptures warn, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." There was no need to be afraid. The angel had been sent not to threaten and condemn, though such a message would have been fully justified. Rather, he had been sent to bring good news. News of great joy and gladness. News of the Son born to Mary, a baby who is the long-awaited Savior, the Lord's Messiah, indeed, the Lord himself with us in our flesh and blood to save us. What joy it must have given the shepherds to hear, "To you. To you is born." But note well, dear people loved by God, he would have you take this message personally as well. It's true that the good news of great joy was proclaimed by the angel to a group of shepherds. But he explicitly says, it is for all the people. Unto the shepherds and unto you is born a Savior to save you from your sin. A Savior who is none other than the anointed of the Lord, the Holy One of God, sharing in your humanity. We don't know how many infant boys were in Bethlehem that night. Given the size of Bethlehem at that time, it's unlikely that there were more than a handful under 3 or 4 months old. But so that there might be no mistake, the angels gave the shepherd a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Barely had the angel completed his proclamation when the hosts of heaven could no longer contain themselves. They burst out in an explosion of joyous song, praising God to the utmost and proclaiming peace to a world of sinners. Peace with God. Peace he was establishing in his Son. Peace revealed in the birth of the one who was the Lord, saving his people from their sins. If the shepherds had missed the enormity of the announcement of the single messenger, the appearance and song of the multitude of the heavenly host left no room for doubt. What had happened was something big. Really big. What had happened changed the history of this world. What had happened changed the destiny of humanity. Now the promise of salvation was being realized, accomplished. The road to hell opened by Adam and Eve when they sinned was being rerouted. God was putting in a bypass. His only Son, whom he loved, lying helpless in a manger, would bear the sin of the world, your sin and my sin, and pay for it once and for all with his own blood, canceling the charges against you, marking your debt of sin as paid in full. All this would be accomplished by Mary's firstborn son, born a Savior in Bethlehem, born your Savior. When the angels departed and the curtains of heaven returned to their normal closed state, the shepherds said, we've got to check this out. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, just as they had been told. So they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Their message? It included a manger and swaddling cloths, to be sure. But at the center of it was the marvelous message of God's love. God had fulfilled his promise. He had come to redeem us. To you has been born a Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. It has happened. He has saved you. Praise the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.